Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. This week on Counselor Audio Source, contributing editor Dr. Teresa O'Halloran interviews Dr. Tommy Rad, a professor of counselor education at the University of Nebraska at Omaha, about her model of self-concept development and how counselors and teachers can utilize it.
Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. I am Dr. Teresa O'Halloran, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Tommy Rad, a professor from the University of Nebraska at Omaha. And today she's going to speak to us about self-concept development, a special model that she's developed. And I look forward to speaking with you, Tommy. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Teresa. I appreciate the invitation to share with you this important information.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, let's begin then. Have you give a little bit of your background and introduce yourself?
Right. Well, first of all, I started out in education, and after teaching in middle school and working with elementary and high school students, I realized that there was such a broad range of behaviors, and I became intrigued with especially juvenile delinquents, and which has always been intriguing to me, which caused, you know, the background as to where behavior leads people and how they make those choices along their developmental path. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do a dual master's specialty in rehabilitation and school counseling, both. And it was very interesting because I got to have a really bigger picture as to the parts that really do play into this person's development and the success that they can have as they grow into adulthood, and how to maintain that throughout adulthood as you age and contribute to society. So in that process, I worked for vocational rehabilitation, saw many people who had come through an education program but weren't able to function. Mm. And they did well academically many times. But there were many things that seemed to not fit as to the reason they were not doing well or not achieving and were having a difficult time holding any kind of career path that they might have had. So after working with the adults, I went and I thought, well, I missed the children because I love getting in a little younger. I don't give up on us old timers, you know, maturing spirits, let's say. But I really wanted to see if I could get involved younger so that you could give people some more options to not create patterns that are harder to change as we keep those patterns in longer periods of time. And what I realized from the research is that when you asked people that were experiencing any self-destructive kinds of behaviors, and they could be emotional disorders, it could be anything, the people would say, well, you really have to help people make better choices, how to work with decision making, how to work with self-control, mm-hmm. how to work with working in groups and with other people, how to be aware of other people and articulate feelings. And these became common themes. And the biggest common theme I found was this whole idea of self-concept and self-concept development. And people would say, well, we need to really help people improve their self-concept, but no one was really explaining a format or process for how that could happen in a consistent way where it could really help people shift their idea of their own possibilities and see themselves as really whole people with possibilities and not damaged goods. Sometimes mm-hmm. you work with people over time, they make a mistake, they figure, well, that's the end of the world. They can't have any other things to look forward to. And over time, that can become a real difficult message that people could have that keeps playing back and determines a lot of what they do. So over my background, I've worked with children in developing this model because I found, you know, we just have to do more proactively. to make a difference. And then I worked with children's rehab and developed a social service department for children's rehab, and I experimented with some of these concepts there. And then I worked for 14 years as a developmental elementary school counselor because I have the education background and the school counseling background, and also a wider range of administrative certificates, certifications, and licenses. So because I felt the way you can impact everyone is on common ground, and that's where I saw public education could really be a wonderful vehicle that could support learning and also help students expand their possibilities when they're in that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. And then after there, I was invited to come to UNO at University of Nebraska, Omaha, and write the elementary counselor education program. And so I've been doing that here at UNO. I designed the program and wrote 8 courses to KCREP standards and have integrated those within our entire program. And then I've been working with putting those in place and working in the practicum areas ever since 1989.
Mm-hmm. Great. So you have a long, rich experience, both research-based and applied, that draws your interest in this field.
Yes, I do.
Great, great. Well, this is going to be interesting. I look forward to this. So let's start with some definitions maybe to help people keep clear here about how you define self-concept. And
yes, well, I think that's the other big thing that's been a real confusion, because people will classify things under one big umbrella as self-concept. And the thing that became really confusing to me and a concern was people would say, well, self-concept, you can't go by that because the people with the big highest self-concepts are the ones that are gang members and people that are in these power positions. But when you really understand self-concept, that's an indicator when you have to be better than instead of equal with, then that's an indication of a person with lower self-concept, that their behavior determines their worth and not their being determining their worth. And so what I've done is I've looked at some classifications to help clarify some of these different ways of understanding self-concept so that it seems a little simpler to me, because you could go on and on and on with 15 different therapists and research pieces, but then down the bottom line is you have to be able to articulate it in a clear way or people won't really understand what you mean. So one thing I think is the example with a gang member would be that's more of an example of an ego-driven person where they're self-centered and they're egotistic and they view everything in relation to self. And that's there, that form of ego is not to be confused with the concept in psychoanalysis, that describes ego as the conscious part of the personality responsible for decision making. So when you're not taking it from this psychoanalytic perspective, ego is just, that whole idea of being self-centered. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see someone that's more destructive, and manipulative. Being coming out of that ego-centered part of self versus that comfort zone of knowing who you are and understanding, because self-concept is really the identity, character, or essential qualities of a person. The sum total of the way a person views him or herself and his perception or her perception of the way they belong in the world. So that's really what I'm looking at when I look at self-concept development. And a part of that is the whole idea of self-esteem, because people will sometimes say self-esteem, you can't say self-concept, but self-esteem is just the evaluative component of self-concept. Mm-hmm. So the way you evaluate yourself would be your self-esteem, but your identity, character, and your total essential qualities of me or of you or of a person would be their self-concept. a really important, rich part of this is the whole idea of understanding self-perception. Because perception is the filter that you use. And that's the way a person will see and interpret information and experiences and possibilities. So if I have a self-concept and belief in the way I handle myself, then that self-concept will affect my perception. And the perception filters all of the messages and information that I take in. So when I'm experiencing this, I will interpret based on whatever I perceive to be true. So when they say, and I believe perception is reality, if we don't work with the self-concept development piece, we can't expand the perceptions that people have that filter the way they handle their behavior choices.
Mm-hmm. Great. So those four concepts then really need to be distinct, you're saying, to when you want to assist people in developing a positive or strong self-concept.
Yes. Yes, I do. And I believe it's so important to understand that every message that we receive will add to or take away from self-concept, and that it's a filing system that we have. And I don't intend to have people believe that they're powerless in this process, but they need to be aware of the impact of messages. And one thing that I really have learned is that the messages that people take in become maybe their reality, and people used to believe, and I think sometimes still do, that behavior will cause a poor self-concept. But really, it's the opposite, where you take in messages and your behavior is driven by your self-perceptions of who you are and what you can do. So if we really want to support behavior changes and somebody's ability to see themselves differently, we need to work on those perceptions and those filters so they're able to see themselves with wider possibilities and with different options.
Mm-hmm.
If not, that self-concept piece will just start driving their choices. And that takes time to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is struggling with an issue and there's some behavior choices, we are really into quick fixes anymore. And so I think, well, if I just tell them they're important, well, that counts. And of course, it's a message that I want to give and give frequently. However, if I can help someone experience that and really internalize it, then it becomes theirs. Because if we adjusted our belief systems that rapidly over what somebody tells us, for example, even if they would respect me and just think the world of me and or not think the world of me but still respect me, however it might shake out, you know, then that person would be have schizophrenic types of a personality characteristics, because anytime somebody with influence would say something, they'd shift gears.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way self-concept works. It develops over time. It's longitudinal. It's dynamic. And it impacts everything in that person's world. And so in order to make some adjustments, there needs to be clear, consistent messages that will help that perception shift in a very positive way as over time as that person's engaged in it, in that process of understanding more about self and owning their his or her own behavior.
Mm-hmm. So it's rich, you know, your thinking about this is very rich, multi-components here. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if you could help our listeners understand exactly how counselors can use these ideas.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that I think might help is if I talk a little bit about the self-concept series, because I've had to give a great deal of reflection and thought over time, and I started to experiment, well, what could be done consistently to adjust these messages? how could I apply some of these ideas into a real world setting, because I don't want something up in the ethers up here that isn't practical.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to deal with people in a very practical way in order for them to feel comfortable and have something that is, let's say, framed in a format that is even something people would consider. Because if not, it's just too far out. It's one of those counselor ideas. Okay, so you want to do a counselor idea that doesn't sound so theoretical that it doesn't have any kind of practical attraction. And what I found is that among the biggest things are that people would confuse their behavior choices with the truth about their worth. And whenever those two lines are murky, then people will say, well, I made a really hurtful behavior choice. That means I'm not worth anything. No. An unconditional piece of information is that everybody is unique, valuable, and able, and important. So that is something that is non-negotiable. So there's nothing that you could do or I could do that would eliminate my worth and my value as a human being, because no one else is around like me or like you. And so that's something to treasure. But what starts to happen is in the way we interact with people everywhere, if we make a mistake or we don't make the wisest choice, and that could be at any level, then we start to say, well, I'm not worth anything, or I wouldn't have done this thing. Well, the truth is, you are worth something, and you happen to make a hurtful choice. And since you chose to hurt yourself, then you're forgetting your worth. And so instead of helping support change, when we allow people and the truth that they're worthwhile get murked up, then we actually stop their growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get discouraged and they're saying, well, if I'm worthless, why bother? I can't change this. Nobody's going to ever like me. I'm never going to have a friend. And I found the younger this pattern starts, the more difficult it can be to adjust. But then there needs to be a component of responsibility in this. Because just because I've made a behavior choice that's hurtful, I'm still responsible for making that adjustment. So I can't go around and say, oh, well, I'm still important and I hurt myself and I hurt my family and I hurt my friends, but that's okay because I'm worthwhile. It's not an excuse, but I need to know, because I have this worth unconditionally, it's my responsibility to help myself and to help other people. So that framed the three steps of the self-concept series. So I felt if I could come up with a language and a way of helping people separate their worth. I'm important, I'm valuable, I'm unique, and so are you, Teresa, no matter what you think, do, say, or feel. And so's everybody, unconditionally. Because if one person isn't, that means it can be chosen by anybody. Anybody can go in with their own belief systems and decide who, I call it, belongs on step one and who doesn't. Who is the chosen important people? So that's a non-negotiable. But step two then is I show I'm remembering that I'm important and that you are by making helpful versus hurtful choices. And step three was, and I'm responsible for my choices. And so what I like to do is integrate those three steps into everything that I do, because then I remember that if somebody that I'm around, adult, child, whomever, is having I'm not thrilled with their behavior choices, and we've all been in crowds or with kids or whomever, that the choices aren't your best. But I need to remember that if I frame it that that's really a hurtful choice, it keeps me from seeing this person as bad. And so what has helped in all of this is I've gotten really cleaned up on my language. And that's where some of those fine counselor skills come in. Because if instead of saying, well, that was a good choice, I like to choose to say that's a helpful choice. I make a joke and I'll just say double rich creamy chocolate cake is good. But behavior is either helpful or hurtful. So I like to get rid of good, bad, should, ought, right, wrong, must. All of those judgmental labels that we will put in our communication that sends a mixed signal. Because if I'm telling a child, for example, your behavior is really bad, the message is you are bad. And then it doesn't even get to the responsibility stage because the perception, another message that you're bad, so that's going to layer onto that filter, and then there's going to be more belief that I'm really not able to do this. So the minute somebody else isn't looking, the hurtful behavior pattern will start back up.
Mm.
But if I work to help somebody separate, you know, you're really important. You've made a hurtful choice. You're responsible for that. So let's figure out some things to do that you can really help yourself with because you're really worth it. Then that puts the same piece of information in totally different context.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has a different interpretation.
Mm-hmm. I can see that, how, as you described that, those three parts is how a counselor could, we could always have that in our mind and be applying that in all interactions with our clients, mm-hmm. as well as I kept having pictures of being a parent or, for me, an aunt, and you know,
yes.
all the moments that I'm responding to the kids' behaviors and how I obviously want to support them, and I know that they're sweet spirits, but...
Hey, enough's enough some days, you know? You just think, oh, I know they're sweet spirits, but I need a little rest. And so absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. I know that you've also developed this into a life skills education program for counselors use.
Yes, yes.
Tell us some about that.
Well, what I've done is I've just finished the 35-year, it's the history, research, and development, the history, development, and research of the educational systems model. And this self-concept series is integrated throughout that model. And it's exciting because in that report, I have two longitudinal studies that are 10 to 12, 13 plus years that I worked on over time, and then 9 shorter studies, research studies, in 5 different states, and 84 classrooms of our practicum students at the university that I've kept track of the different scores and assessments that went into that, and then also have... two international studies in Asia that people have worked with this model. So I've been fortunate to do work globally on this. But the self-concept piece I see as a real framework in that whole organization structure and working with that. And then I've called it Grow with Guidance because it's more of a guidance system to work with those messages, and it's for use in schools, and it can be adapted to other areas. I think if people wanted to use it creatively, they can. And so there's the book and some things that I can list on the pod notes that could be of help to people with that.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. And this might be a time also to mention your website. You said you have a website.
Yes.
I think it's www.allsucceed.com.
Yes, yes. And it's just a place where we just will post about the materials, or if people wanted to email in, just to give somebody some support. And I always welcome calls and will spend time helping people with ways of applying ideas, so it's not that they have to order something to get support. I really believe that this is something that is important, and that if materials that I find very helpful can benefit others, then I'm thrilled about that. But I believe we really need to take the main ideas and see how do those fit in to the world that I'm in right now, and how can that work? And so that's the way one way that I can accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. Great. So another component that you've developed is the self-concept series weave.
Yes.
And in this process, this is my understanding, self-concept is woven into the process of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was reading it, I thought this is an excellent way for counselors to help children and all our clients understand their self-concept development and modify it. So tell us more about the self-concept series weave.
Yes, I'd love to, because I found that once people know the three steps. So if I'm working with someone, it could be individually, it could be in a group, it could be in a classroom setting, it could be any age group of people, it could be at a workshop program that you're doing. I like to share with them the three steps and do an energizer because sometimes people will work with self-concept, and if I want them to say I'm important and special, no matter what I think, do, say, or feel, and so is everyone else, they're uncomfortable with that. Because in our culture, sometimes we look at that as bragging, and we're not being humble. But I help people see that it's telling the truth. And when you're not competing with someone else or comparing yourself with another person, then it's really just being honest to state the fact that you are an original. And that no one is going to take an extra piece of time, an extra amount of their own time to improve something that doesn't have worth. So I like to teach those three steps. But then as I'm working with somebody in any of those arenas, then I could say something like, oh, well, there's an example of a time you remembered you're important. Or, oh, you remembered to help yourself. You seem proud about that. Or I can say, boy, responsibility really came through. Tell me the way that worked for you. You know, so I could actually take each one of those three steps, and as a client or a child, if I'm not in this counseling setting, or a colleague, it could be anyone, is experiencing something, I could say, oh, well, you know, that person sure forgot they're important, and you're so frustrated with this. You know, but it gives you another way of framing things in a way that gets away from guilt, blame, and shame, but helps hook these important three steps into the day-to-day experiences so that the person can perceive a different message and not take everything really personally in a way, but kind of be able to step back a little bit when needed, but also have some examples in the way he or she is doing something that puts those three steps to life into their frame of reference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the three steps, I'm just going to restate them so that we're all remembering.
Okay.
The first was recognizing that I'm worthy.
Yes. Unconditional self-concept and conditional worth.
Okay.
That I'm important no matter what I think, do, say, or feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so is everyone else. We're all different and unique and original.
Mm-hmm. And the second one is making positive choices.
Yes, helpful versus choices. Hurtful choices.
Mm-hmm.
I show I'm remembering that I'm worth it by making a helpful choice versus a hurtful choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still important if I forget and I make a hurtful choice. But then because I'm responsible, which is the third step, then I can go back and make a different choice because I'm worth working for and changing for and improving for and learning for. Because I always say any behavior that's hurtful, if I don't learn from it, it's a wasted trip. Then I just have to keep taking the same trip more than once or twice or three times or 10 times or 100 times. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to go on a trip, I'd rather have a little variety and explore some other venues. And so that's what I like to communicate with people that I work with.
Great. So what recommendations would you make to counselors working with your ideas? What recommendations would you make to them to implement? these ideas.
Well, one recommendation I think is that people need to learn the steps themselves and really get to where they're comfortable with them, because it's difficult working with something that you don't feel comfortable with. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be, we never get into perfection here, but something where at least you learn it, you practice it, and all of the students here at the university, we practice those as little agreements at the beginning of a course, and then we could do little check-ins over the course of the semester. But I found that it's difficult, if not impossible, to separate who you are from what you do. And we all bring filters in when we work with people. And I believe that the more we can work with ourselves on that, that would be really important. The other thing is that I've found through my research is that there is a reciprocal relationship between what I teach and what I learn. Reciprocal relationship. So if I'm teaching this and I'm weaving it, I'm also the beneficiary of that. I benefit from it, and over time, an example is I've seen that classroom teachers and the class climate will shift as the teacher starts interacting with the students using the three steps.
Mm-hmm.
And then the students, they can practice the three steps as a part of the classroom or the building behavior plan. And then I tie that in with self-talk and self-pictures. So that when there's a behavior choice coming on, I say, well, tell me your thoughts. And I could actually have the student put self-talk thoughts together with, I'm important, I help myself, I am responsible. So that they can start to take responsibility for how all of that is integrated into who they are as people. So then I like to make sure as a counselor, I teach that to people.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I believe the more places I can put that message out, the better. Because I said it's longitudinal in nature, so I'll first might teach the three steps. But then if I'm working with somebody individually, I'll have them repeat the steps if they know them already. And we start the session with that. And if somebody, you know, if I say, tell me the reason you are here today, if we have an appointment and it's the first time, and they'll say, well, because I'm bad or I'm having a problem with my husband. I go, well, okay, well, we're going to get more to that. But the reason for me that you're here is because you're really important. It looks like you've made some hurtful choices. But since you're being you're responsible, I'd like to have us work together so you could figure out other ways of working and being and helping yourself, because you're really worth it, your family's worth it. But frame it in a positive way so that I can help people know that I see them as whole with W-H-O-L-E versus whole with H-O-L-E, and that they're main job is to get to where they're feeling that they're worth it, because the truth is they are. And I'll do the same format when I work through the group process, when I'm working with students, and then I'll weave throughout those sessions just like I would with individuals and so forth. So I think counselors need to realize that once they're comfortable, they can apply this and interject it in all the different theories. It can be a cross theoretical base, you know, so that you're not just having to do this if you're a certain theoretical predisposition. So if you're a Gestaltist, or if you're an REBT, or if you work with Adler, some theories are more geared to teaching theoretically. But even if I work and I'm in an environment where different behavioral strategies are really important, or something more out of the behavior Skinnerian kinds of things, behavior modification, I'll still want to weave that, because eventually you want people to have an internal locus of control. So I can see this as being very supportive of who you are as a person, but I don't know a theory yet that doesn't value people and want them to know that they're unique and have capable of their personal development and being empowered to making their own decisions in life as lifelong learners and as quality citizens.
Sounds great. I'm excited to hear this, and I feel like both your model and the way you've presented it today have a lot to offer for counselors. I've heard you say that a couple ways that I've heard you say, and I want you to clarify for me.
Yes.
I've heard you say that one way to use this three-step model is to frame the relationship with it, structure mm-hmm. the counseling mm-hmm. relationship, structure the group, or structure your teaching even with mm-hmm. this frame mm-hmm. of the three steps. Mm-hmm. And another is to weave it through all the interactions that I as the counselor would always be aware of. Making sure that I'm supporting the person's worth and noticing when they make positive or helpful choices.
Yes.
That sort of thing. It really, is that yes. accurate?
Absolutely. Okay. And to really let them know, you know, look, you're really responsible for this. So if you made a mistake, okay, well, let's learn from it. And it doesn't affect your worth, but it will affect the quality of your life that you can make a change with if we don't come up with some strategies together.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that people, and I use this example frequently, that if I have some things in your spring clean and you're going through things at your house and you want to give those away, you're not going to spend a whole lot of time getting them all prettied up. You're not going to take them so all the buttons on or take them to the cleaner and take it. No, usually we gather it all up and then now and then I drive it around a while and the bag's in my trunk, you know, and I finally get to where I know it can be put to use. But it hasn't been a big investment in my time, except to get it in the bag. And now I've got to really give it to someone else. But with self-concept, people are the same way. If they don't really know they're worth it, they're not going to do the work that it's going to take to make the change. And we know that people will think about doing a lot of things, but change really takes, I've always said, the longest journey is from the head to the heart. So I find this is a way of helping connect what people want to do with the heart to have the courage to start to move to do it. Because they'll know, you know, I really am worthwhile, and so is everyone else, and I'm responsible, and now let's figure out those helpful choices of what I can do to make a difference now and in the future.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. Mm-hmm. I wonder what your final thoughts are, if you have final thoughts you want to make sure we leave our listeners with.
Well, I believe that just to realize that self-concept and the work with that area isn't just a light and lively little fun little thing that you might want to do that has no real significance. Sometimes, you know, you hear like these three steps and someone could possibly say, well, that doesn't sound that deep or that doesn't sound that difficult or what's the... I have been overwhelmed with the people at every age that I've worked with that have never had one person in their world say, you're really important.
Mm.
You're really worth it. And I mean, this is from here in Omaha to globally.
Mm-hmm.
And when they really hear that, it brings tears to their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, how can we expect people to have the courage to make changes or to be honest with really what's happening so that they can and see possibilities if we think that something that drives the filter of how a person evolves isn't worthwhile. So I think that would be my final thought. I think the longer I work with this, the more I know it's so significant in how people evolve and develop. And I saw some tremendous differences between the children, especially that I worked with for the 14 years in the schools and even the ones that I work with now. I saw dramatic differences between the results of the students that used it versus the ones that didn't. And that's why I really know it works. But I also have found over time it's even more important than I thought it was. And I hope people will take a chance and not let the simplicity of the thought deter them from taking it seriously.
I hope so too, and I think listeners will after today. So I truly appreciate your time. Thank you for speaking with us today on CounselorAudioSource.net, and look forward to talking with you again, Dr. Redd.
That would be my pleasure. Thank you again for the invitation.
You've just heard an interview of Dr. Tommy Redd, Professor of Counselor Education at University of Nebraska at Omaha, by Dr. Teresa O'Halloran. Their conversation was about self-concept development.
Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at CounselorAudioSource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4015. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.